your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to be starting off with, you know what, COVID-19. We just can't drop the subject. It's too important for the health of many loyal, patriotic Americans that need the advice and help to get through this pandemic. But anyway, the beginning interview was a Bartlett interview by Alex, and then Zelenko follows that. But they both say some very, very wise and insightful things about what's really going on. So I implore you to really take note of what this whole pandemic is really about. But here we go first with Dr. Bartlett, Dr. Richard Bartlett.
With natural immunity being 27 times better than the so-called vaccine immunity, which they now admit basically disappears in most cases in just a few months. But it was a big article in Newsmax. Rand Paul and Dr. Richard Bartlett, government needs to get out of the way of COVID treatments. And Dr. Bartlett has done hundreds and hundreds of interviews. He's talked to hundreds of millions of people, not just here but around the world. And he's one of the top doctors that has selflessly for free steered people to online pharmacies to get known drugs that help people. And in his case, for free. He's making no money doing that and working 20 hours a day. And so imagine being Howard Stern. Now, they admit that basketball players have been paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, some TV shows, millions of dollars, to put out these talking points. And the talking points we hear from Howard Stern are those talking points. The one they've been beating is a host out of Tennessee who died of COVID. Well, we've never said people aren't dying of COVID. We've said they're blocking the treatments. And so they were attacking Bartlett because, as best I can tell, he'd been on that show. And oh, look, I wonder what Bartlett will do now that this guy's died. He'll find somebody else. They're making a big joke about it. Meanwhile, Pfizer launches final study for COVID drug that's suspiciously similar to ivermectin horse paste. And Congress has exempted itself from these very same injections. So I thought we'd get the doc on this segment next to respond to this, because they weren't attacking him for ivermectin. They were attacking him for the inhalable steroid that I witnessed my dad go from almost dead to 90% better the next day. But here's Howard Stern really, you know, celebrating people's deaths. I saw when Laura Loomer got COVID, they have a website celebrating conservatives that get it and saying, will she be dead? Is the graveyard looming? This is really sick. Here it is.
Like, well, okay. Maybe you should have done that on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The other thing he would do is he'd bring in, like, guests to pitch what they call, like, miracle cures. The virus is harmless, so why do you need a cure?
Yeah, why do you need it?
Right. But this guy came on, Dr. Richard Bartlett, and he said in his practice there was 100% COVID survival rate if you inhaled this steroid called budesonide. And
that's like cyanide.
Right, but I guess Phil never inhaled it because
right.
He died.
You got tape of that?
Yeah, clip two.
All right.
This guy came
on. I want to hear that.
You hear Phil's voice, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a guest today who has a cure for your COVID, even though there is no such a thing.
A beautiful,
but if you do get
wow.
Dovesonide will save you.
And it turns out what they had given me as a generic at the drugstore was essentially what you were prescribing for folks with coronavirus. How do you pronounce this again?
Budesonide. If you use the breathing treatment, it's targeted medicine. It's like turning the faucet off for the poisons to be delivered into the bloodstream. And so it's a game changer. We've been using this since March. Zero of my patients have died. 0% of my patients. And I know thousands have been treated with this. Budesonideworks.com is the website. It's $3 a treatment. It's pre-mixed, pre-measured. This is a winning strategy.
Gee, it's amazing. None of us have heard of that.
None of us know whether the people he gave this to had COVID.
I just wonder if Phil took a little Devesonide before he went.
I guess not, if it's 100% survival rate.
Well, it's pretty good odds even still if you had, all your patients lived except for Phil. So.
Let's stop right there. Let me tell you something, Howard Stern. My dad lives here in town, 71 years old, and he's in decent shape, and I've known him my whole life, my dad, David Jones. David Ross Jones, and he didn't tell me he was sick, and I went over to his house. He had 82 oxygen when I tested him. He was blue, naked in the bed, didn't know who he was, couldn't get up, and I called Dr. Bartlett, and he called in a prescription, had to find a pharmacy that would give it to us, and my dad was 50% better within about 5 hours, and I stayed there that night. By about 3 in the morning, he was about 60, 70% better, and the next day, I've told the story many times, they've been sitting out there for a week when I got there, a bunch of packages and 4 or 5 boxes of pool chairs. His old pool chairs got old and fell apart. Finally got some new pool chairs, and he was there putting them together in the morning. Now, he still had brain fog and stuff, but his oxygen was 96. He was back. And that was all with what Dr. Bartlett prescribed. And so you talk about the evil making jokes about this when Dr. Bartlett was the head, a board head for Governor Rick Perry on the state's medical board and runs a hospital emergency room and is very respected and tirelessly helps people. I know he helped more than 100 people that I gave his number to, and then they gave the number until he was helping thousands of people, I would imagine. I mean, it's insane to compare this guy to Stern, but it's very sad that Stern would sell his soul like this, or I guess he's always been this bad, maybe, to do this. It's very sad. So I'm going to just bring the doc in. He's very busy. He can only do it over the phone. He'll be with us next segment, too, but Dr. Bartlett, I mean, you have the studies now since you first started doing this. They've admitted it. In Oxford, many other places, that budesonide is really good. It's even on the news that inhalable steroids that you pioneered are having a great effect, because we know a lot of viruses kill people with the autoimmune response, right, or the inflammation. Explain this and what it's like to Stern goes on, I guess, imply you're making money off this and that you're killing people. What do you want to say to Howard Stern, doctor?
Are you talking about that clown that hides behind a wig and glasses that's just a talking head? Are you talking about that guy?
Yes, sir.
Well, for he and his minions to say they've never heard of budesonide shows that obviously they haven't gone to medical school. And so budesonide is an inhaled steroid that's been around for over 2 decades. There's a ton of information out there on it, many studies. This is the medicine that I was talking about using against COVID early, because it's an inhaled steroid. It's targeted. It's a targeted approach of using an inhaled steroid instead of using IV steroids. Oxford University is the oldest university in the English-speaking world. They did the STOIC trial, a randomized controlled trial, and they concluded that 90% of COVID hospitalizations, ER visits and urgent care visits would be prevented with just that one medicine, inhaled budesonide against COVID. I'm not surprised that Howard Stern hasn't done his homework. He's just reading what they tell him to read. And he's not a doctor. And obviously he hasn't asked anybody that was intelligent to do research before they did the show. But he did us a favor. He let the cat out of the bag. There is effective early outpatient treatment, inhaled budesonide, monoclonal antibodies. I'm actually, you're right. I worked for I was a top advisor for Governor Rick Perry for 7 years, and I received the Meritorious Service Award from the Commissioner of Health and Human Services. It was a surprise at the end of the 7 years. They were grateful for my efforts. But now I'm helping with a new project with the new governor, Governor Abbott, and this is with the Texas Division of Emergency Management, where we're doing monoclonal antibody infusions. And I'm sure Howard Stern hasn't heard of that, even though...
Well, that's why you're not tuning your horn, but you helped get the governor to do this, and then with taxpayer money, provide it to the public, because you're such a kook.
Yeah, I'm such a kook that I am... when I get a call on Friday saying, would you please help with this Texas Emergency Management Project for West Texas, where you live, for your people, that I am so crazy that I get that text on Friday, and on Monday, I'm dressed like a walking marshmallow in universal precautions, and for 11-hour days, 6 days a week, I'm only around infectious COVID patients.
Doctor, stay right there. We'll be right back. I know doctor like he is. I remember reading about the Spanish flu killing 20, 30, 40 million. They debate the numbers, saying it wasn't the virus necessarily that killed you. It was your body's autoimmune response filling up with fluid. But I'm a layperson. Doc, can you explain to Howard Stern and other people why, sure, you tried it on your patients and it worked, but why you were already thinking about that? Because am I not wrong in saying it's well known that for a lot of, type of viral issues sometimes that they try out steroids and see if that works? And can you explain to Howard Stern, who we'll put on screen, and others, because he can save a lot of lives telling people about this. I mean, maybe he's just ignorant. Hopefully he can turn back from this and not aid and abet, keeping medical treatment from people. I mean, hopefully he's not a eugenicist and a depopulationist. I don't think he's a Nazi, hopefully. But can you speak to what the Oxford study says for Howard?
Yeah. Okay, listen carefully, Howard. You might get your crayons out and write some things down. Number one, what happens with COVID is you have a respiratory viral illness. This virus enters the body through the nose, the throat, the eyes, and multiplies for 3 to 5 days. Goes into the lungs and triggers, it goes, the doorway into the body is the ACE receptors. This virus goes through ACE receptors into cells and starts to multiply and trigger the release of cytokines. That's a fancy word for inflammatory chemicals that are released. Interleukin 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 11, 13, 15, tumor necrosis factor, thromboxane, which increases the chance of clotting, which would be a heart attack, stroke, or pulmonary embolus, leukotriene, and other dangerous chemicals. Those all cause an inflammatory response, which then will lead to multi-organ failure if it goes unchecked. And those chemicals go through the bloodstream, total body. The first place that's hit, obviously, is the lungs, usually. But it caught all of the symptoms, whether it's a headache or fever, body ache, diarrhea. Those all are the result of cytokines released from the lining in the lung tissue. And so inhaled steroid budesonide, in particular, was studied by the country of Spain, France, UK at Oxford University, Australia, NIH, for a reason. They all landed on the same medicine after I announced it. And that medicine is budesonide, an inhaled steroid that costs $3 a treatment. Nobody's going to get rich off of it. It's so safe, it's been used on 2-pound premature babies in the NICU for decades, and doctors never bat an eye using it. That's about as delicate a human on the planet as there is. And yet, it's inexpensive, it's readily available. It's a medicine at every pharmacy on every corner in the United States. It's in every hospital pharmacy. It's being used around the world now that we've talked about it, and it's blown up around the world. And so, there are doctors around the world treating their patients in India, Australia, around the world with inhaled budesonide because it's very targeted, very specific. France even studied budesonide eye drops against COVID and showed that it was effective. Why are they landing on that one medicine? This is why, Howard. It does two things. Number one, it stops the release of cytokines right at the source. Secondly, it downregulates ACE receptors. Children have less ACE receptors, and every year they have more and more ACE receptors till they're 23 to 24 years old, and then they have a maximum level of ACE receptors. Remember that ACE receptors are the doorway for the virus to get into the body. That's the secret why children have less trouble with COVID than adults, because they have less ACE receptors. So if you downregulate the ACE receptors with the inhaled budesonide, that's a good thing.
Well, all I know is I got COVID from my parents after I took care of them, and it felt like a gorilla sitting on my chest. And so we're not denying this stuff goes on. We know Fauci cooked it up in that lab. It's all come out. It's a bioweapon. and they basically have to admit that now. The documents have come out. Shifting gears into that, what do you make of the actual documents that have now come out in the last month where they state that they combined four viruses together to be able to infect humans and added the HIV delivery system as well, and it describes COVID perfectly, and then Fauci orders Peter Daszak to approach the Pentagon and DARPA for $14 million to aerosolize it in micro glass pellets to go through the skin of bats, and the Pentagon said, no, that'll infect humans. I mean, that's not just creating gain of function. That's making the COVID-19-style coronavirus and then saying that they wanted to, I know we're shifting gears here, deploy it into the open air, doctor.
That's insane. But there are people that are insane and that are evil. Evil really does exist. And so the bottom line, these are bioweapons. What they chose was a highly contagious virus that is normally very benign. Coronavirus normally causes the common cold, and they weaponized it. And that made it a weapon of mass destruction. The evidence is here now. This is a disease that you have to take seriously. Unfortunately, many people thought it would be just like the flu or something else that we've seen before. This is a disease that we've never had before. It's man-made. I want to say congratulations. I applaud Senator Rand Paul for his courage to out Fauci, to waive the documents showing evidence under Fauci's nose, putting them on his heels. Fauci was on his heels, red-faced, caught red-handed, stuttering, stammering because he had been caught in front of the whole world on the Senate floor. Congratulations, Rand Paul, for your courage. You know, Senator Tom Cotton has been talking about this looking like a bioweapon for a year. You know, Alex, you and I are not in those meetings with the CIA and with the heads of national security giving us briefings like the senators get. They've been telling the world what's been going on for a long time to their credit. And I'll tell you, Senator Ron Johnson has also made the point that there's early effective outpatient treatment, but Governor DeSantis has blown it out of the water. He has proven that early effective outpatient treatment is a winning strategy, whether you've been vaccinated or not. The monoclonal antibodies work.
Absolutely. So I think Howard Stern is taking money like so many other influencers. I don't know that. I'd like people to ask him that, to read these statements. And I think he really should think about what he's done. And I know, Doc, you want to focus on solutions. Let's talk about that. You've been promoting Regeneron for a long time, and now you helped bring it to Texas, and now you're working with the governor on that. And when I asked you a month ago about it, you said, well, I don't want to get into it when I asked you if Biden was trying to suppress that. Well, then it was confirmed 2 weeks ago that he has been trying to ration that. So I know Texas governor and others have gone to directly now get it. What do you make of that action by the president, the so-called president?
Inexcusable. And there's many other adjectives and words that could be used as well. But I'll tell you what, don't discriminate because against an American just because he lives in Texas or Florida. Don't discriminate because they've been vaccinated. There was also talk about not allowing the vaccinated to receive this potentially life-saving medicine. 70% decrease in death if you receive the monoclonal antibody infusion. Why would you withhold that from an American, whether he's vaccinated or not? Why would you withhold that from an American that lives in a certain state? So this is insanity. This is crazy. It's thank God for DeSantis leading the way again of problem solving and making sure his people under his influence in Florida had a workaround and they got monoclonal antibodies from a different source. And congratulations to Governor Abbott for doing the same for Texas. We have what we need here in West Texas, where I am, but that decreases the risk of hospitalization or death by 70%. Budesonide decreases the risk of hospitalization 90%. Howard Stern did us a favor when he mentioned budesonide. Howard Stern, who hides in a costume of a wig and glasses, did us a favor when he mentioned my name, because people will do an online search and they'll come across some life-saving.
No, you're right. In fact, I was meaning to make that point, but you made it better than I would. I mean, this is how no weapon formed against us shall prosper, how his attack is now being turned towards good. And in closing, I wanted to say this. do 5 more minutes with us. I know you have to get back to work, but I'll take a 2-minute break. I want to ask you when we come back. Pfizer launches final study for COVID drug that's suspiciously similar to horse paste. And it turns out right here in the article, ladies and gentlemen, they go on to link and admit it's got basically some of the same ingredients of ivermectin. Wow. We're going to go to break, come back, and get Dr. Richard Bartlett's take on that. And then we've got a loaded group of guests joining us today, including Dr. Zelenko. I'll be with us for the last hour and a half of the show. And we've got so much more I'm going to hit. We also have a Texas judge, a George Soros-funded judge, literally beyond a kangaroo court, because at least in, again, in Australia, they'd have a fake jury of kangaroos as the joke. She said, I don't get a jury trial on the Sandy Hook defamation case because I would, you know, win that because what they say I've done, I haven't done. First Amendment. So she says I'm defaulted and that she's going to decide. So no more jury trials in Democrat-controlled areas. Yes, why live in Austin? Well, my family's been here since the 1820s. What am I supposed to do? But I got to get out soon. We'll be right back. All right, we're back live. Just 5 minutes left with our special guest, who I really appreciate joining us, Dr. Bartlett. Dr. Bartlett, looking at Pfizer coming out and saying, oh, we want a pill you take twice a day to protect you from COVID, and then we go look at it, and it's got some of the same underlying ingredients and mechanisms as being reported, a protease inhibitor. Am I saying that wrong? What's going on here, and what do you make of this?
Okay. So over a year ago, I said, we have early, effective, inexpensive, safe, readily available treatment strategies for COVID. Why are we even talking about a vaccine is what I said. But why would we be talking about expensive experimental medicines when we have generic, readily available, inexpensive, safe medicines that are already proven to be effective? Why would I say it's effective? Howard Stern, listen. Stoic trial, a randomized controlled trial, the principal trial, a randomized controlled trial by Oxford University. They've been around since 1096, the oldest university in the English-speaking world. You know, Dr. Zelenko is a hero. He's the one who first had the courage to say, hey, I'm treating this with early effective outpatient treatment. And you know what? Kudos to him. He's right. That's the winning strategy. When we were told in January to hide, shelter in place by Fauci until he comes up with a vaccine, and that was his strategy that he presented to the world. We're talking about the guy who's been chasing a vaccine against HIV for over 30 years and failed over and over and over again. We're going to trust him and follow him to come up with something when he's failed at that same strategy over and over? I think, and the other thing I want to mention real quick is I've heard that all these deaths and disabilities that are happening from the shot are because we've never had this many people vaccinated before. BS, that's how we call it in Texas. I have been practicing for 30 years, and I've been taking care of people who have been vaccinated to polio, measles, mumps, rubella. I have never taken care of a vaccination injury like I am now to the COVID shot. I have been the ER doctor taking care of people who have had strokes, Guillain-Barré syndrome, transverse myelitis where their spinal cord is hit. They become pulmonary cripples because they right after receiving the shot. I have seen every one of these and been the doctor taking care of them in the emergency room. I have never had patients who have received other vaccines coming in the ER with these conditions. And finally, you know, we got 330 million Americans. Every one of them had to get shots, including the tetanus shot periodically, which is a vaccine. I have never seen anybody with a tetanus shot come in with any of those conditions that I just described. But I guarantee there are more people that have received the tetanus shot than the COVID shot.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let me take this. Even the British government and the Scottish government, all of them are reporting, including the U.S., their own doctors are saying, officially statistics, this specific type of heart attacks from blood clots is up 25%.
Right. So we've never seen that with the polio vaccine. Coward Stearns, take off the wig and the glasses and think. Get a little sunlight. I challenge Howard Stearns to join me on Alex Jones' show, InfoWars, and we'll have a discussion. And we'll see how that goes.
Well, he'll probably just have a puppet piece about you. He does that with me. It's just, it's very sad to see him, I believe, take money to put the talking point out. It's very sick. And they obviously don't want you promoting sites. I know it's not your site. You don't sell it. But where's the best place for people to go if they can't find a doctor that actually cares about them?
Here's what they need. There are many people that are saving lives, including Dr. Zelenko in New York and Ben Marble in Florida, both nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, appropriately so. And so there's SynergyHealthDPC.com is a online telemedicine service that is using my protocol. And
SynergyHealthDPC.com and BudesonineWorks.com.
BudesonineWorks.com and click the providers tab. There's providers in almost every state.
All right. God bless you, and thank you for saving my dad. He was going to die for sure. 82% oxygen. Amazing. And thanks for helping my mom. And thanks for helping me. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
He actually saved, Alex was saying, his parents, his father for sure, the treatment that he prescribed with this steroid breathing really saved his father's life. So this Bartlett, Dr. Bartlett, now coming up next is Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. And he was way ahead of all the other doctors in the medical profession at talking about and exposing what's really going on. And here's Alex again, but with Zelenko. These were just two important interviews that were done Friday this week. And I just had to get them up because they have such valuable information in both of them. So here we go with Dr. Vladimir Zelenko and Alex.
Yeah, I mean, this is a artificially made bioweapon. Everyone realizes that now. There's no debate about that. And it's been designed to create global fear and isolation. And that global fear and isolation has been designed to psychologically wage warfare on the innocent human mind and psychologically decompensate people so that they become extremely gullible and willing to take a poison death shot. And I really do mean it's a poison death shot. It has no medical necessity. It doesn't work. And it has these really horrific eugenics type of effects. That what it does is has several layers and waves of death. There's the acute death, which happens within the 3 months due to blood clots and inflammation of hearts and miscarriages. Then there is that antibody-dependent enhancement concern, which basically the person's immune system will kill the host organism when challenged with the virus that they're immunized against. And that has been seen since the 60s, in the RSV vaccine, 70s, the dengue fever virus vaccine, in the 80s and 90s, all the previous attempts at coronaviruses vaccines. And what's interesting is, wouldn't you think it's a good idea to exclude antibody-dependent enhancement from the human race before you immunize 7 billion people?
So absolutely. For those that don't know, there's been a lot's been talked about it, but what's the easiest way for people listening to explain to their friends and family about what this well-known syndrome is?
Well, look, usually when someone is exposed to a virus, they develop an antibody response. Those antibodies then are protective and are designed to protect you from getting future infections. That's why people don't usually get measles twice or mumps or chickenpox twice. Now, an attempt to artificially produce that by giving vaccines, in some cases is successful, in other cases it's not successful. And in the history of coronavirus vaccines, there have been multiple attempts to make vaccines that work. The problem was that once the animals were immunized, they developed an antibody response and everyone was happy. But then when we challenged those animals with the virus that they were immunized against, the animals died. Now, wait a minute. You're trying to protect and preserve the life of the animal. Why was it dying? But no one really understood it until they did more research and they saw that it was the actual immune reaction that your antibodies became bombs. That when they came into contact with the virus that they were immunized against, resulted in a lethal, homicidal, lethal reaction in the host organism. All the coronavirus vaccines have shown it, including these. So the question would be like this. You can argue maybe that human beings are different than animals, and I would say maybe, but wouldn't it be a good idea to exclude that phenomenon from the human race before you deploy an experimental, artificially made liquid into 7 billion people? And the answer is logically you would want to exclude that unless you already know the answer and unless your desire is not to help people but to reduce the world population.
And Doctor, I've watched congressional hearings. I'm not a doctor like you, but I believe that I've even seen supporters of the shots testify. This dean of virology and things at Baylor here in Texas saying, oh, we've tried to make vaccines for the common flu before, but it creates the antibody enhancement syndrome sometimes, and we had humans die in the trials. So haven't there been some cases where they tried this and it killed people? Because they've said that in Congress.
Yeah, they did it with the RSV vaccine, which killed more kids than RSV. We did it with the dengue fever virus vaccine, killed more adults than the actual dengue virus. So this has been a known phenomenon. This is not unheard of. And that's why world experts are screaming the following, that you're on the verge of killing off billions of people. It's a big gamble to make with innocent people, don't you think? And for what? For a virus that if every single human being on the planet got COVID-19 and was treated properly, the death rate would be less than 5.
But obviously, as you've said, Doctor, they didn't gamble with this. The same people running it say they want to depopulate us, and you predicted over a year ago, and others did, that when people start dying, they're going to blame the vaccinated, which there's no of the unvaccinated, which is now the setup to be poisoning and killing one group and then tell them that the unvaccinated are the ones killing them. What a plan.
It's a bit, it's pretty brilliantly evil. So the key here, this animal that you're showing on the screen right now, he's a sociopath of historic scale and is on record calling for the reduction of the world population. And I'm supposed to take a vaccine for my health from this sociopathic animal, this is Bill Gates, who the whole world is suffering because of his narcissism, because he couldn't get a girlfriend in high school, so now he has to take out his anger on every single human being on the planet. He gets off by stepping on your grave. This is a monster, and he's a symbol of a concept. These are Hitler and Stalin together on steroids. And yes, they should be brought on military trial. This is a war crime. We're in World War III. More than 200 countries are fighting the same invisible, artificially made enemy. And they have propagated fear and have obstructed anything that has any legitimate treatment value, that has an ability to reduce the fear and restore humanity to some semblance of normality. These animals, these worse than animals, these sociopathic vermin, what they are trying to do is prolong the fear to get more and more people to take this poison death shot. Essentially, this is what's happening. You are, not you, but we are walking into the gas chambers, rolling up our sleeve, asking to get a shot, getting a shot, smiling, paying them, and saying, thank you for killing us.
Which is a smart weapon. When Hitler's Barbarossa first went into Russia, they didn't like the communists, so they saw him as a savior. Then he started killing everybody. They fought back, and the Russians beat Hitler. But it's the same thing here. If Hitler would have given people shots that killed him in 2 or 3 years, they would have never known. So they've just learned from history.
It's history repeating itself, but on a scale that has never been seen before. We are on the verge of witnessing billions of people dying, corpses rotting in the streets, and people are too delusioned to believe that that's not possible. But it's very possible, and this has been the planned agenda of people for decades. You know, this has not been recently concocted. Because, look, in order to pull this off, you need the coordination of major global industries. 4 or 5 major industries have to work in unison to be able to pull off the worst crime in history, which is what? One, you need the control of the media, both social and mainstream. You need the control of academia. You need the control of politics. And you need the control of industry and the pharmaceutical industry. And there are only a few people on this planet that are stakeholders in all those industries that are able to influence those industries in a coordinated fashion to pull off what they're doing. And those are the people, and I don't know exactly who they are. I have some I deal with some.
Well, Doc, you come to the right place because you're an expert in medical stuff, and you've also figured this out for yourself, but I've read their writings. I know you have as well. It's Bill Gates, it's Klaus Schwab, and then it's some of the royal families and some of the big money, the big classic families that went underground, all the robber barons. The Rockefellers are right at the heart of it. They all write books. They're all on record saying they wanted this. They wrote Operation Lockstep, planning it all out 11 years ago, and it's them, sir.
Yes, that I know, but I would even argue that the real villains are too smart to be in the media, that there's going to be a layer of evil that is so smart when you get to the core of the onion, they may even transcend those people that you're saying because they're too smart to put themselves out there.
That's what all the top-level folks that I know that have headed up U.S. intelligence agencies and others tell me. They just say the real rulers are completely insulated and work through Schwab and Gates. But we better know, Gates and Schwab are literally the field marshals, along with the head of Pfizer, that are running the attack.
Yes, I agree with that, including the primordial – we're dealing with the primordial snake, the primordial serpent, and it's now enclosed in body and has different heads. Obviously, the Chinese Communist Party is one head. Bill Gates is another head. World Economic Forum is another head. But it's the totality of the evil. They may even have different agendas, but one thing they share in common, which is the enslavement of innocent people, because ultimately they derive some perverse sexual pleasure of controlling others and destroying others.
Boy, beware out there to our listening audience. Both these doctors are really experts in this area. And so go out there. Now there's a deal about Merck that just came out. Merck's got some kind of pill that they're claiming really keeps you out of the hospital and avoids death, 50% they're claiming. But there's evidence now that it has elements of ivermectin in it, or it's similar to that or whatever. Gotta get more information on that. But anyway, that's very, very important. And next is Tucker Carlson with the worst story of all time. And boy, he lays out some very, very scathing remarks about what's really going on in this country. And, gosh, I just listen to this and this will just set you back on your haunches. Here we go, Tucker Carlson.
Well, good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. If you tuned in to see the hearing in the Senate Armed Services Committee today, and if you didn't, you missed out. But if you did, you may have been a little surprised to see Mark Milley sitting there. You remember Milley? He's the fleshy, hood-eyed man who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He is also a national disgrace. He's a living insult to the military he oversees. That's not invective. It's not an insult. It's objectively true. And yet somehow, despite the overwhelming evidence that Mark Milley is dishonest, incompetent, partisan, dishonorable, Mark Milley still has a highly prominent job. That's the amazing thing. And not only is Mark Milley still employed at the very highest level, he is still lying and doing so with his characteristic relish and enthusiasm. Today, for example, with an entirely straight face, Mark Milley delivered an impassioned lecture about the importance of civilian control of the military. Quote, "This country doesn't want generals figuring out what orders we're going to accept or do or not. That's not our job." Oh, really? Is that so, Mark Milley? Isn't this the same Mark Milley who once illegally seized personal control of our country's nuclear arsenal? And then when that wasn't sufficient, promised to tip off the government of China about future American military operations. And did all of this because he didn't like his boss, who, unlike him, was, yes, a civilian elected by voters. Yep, that's the very same Mark Milley, the one lecturing you today about civilian control of the military. It was all pretty amusing in a dark way, but it did make you wonder, what is this about? Why is Mark Milley saying something so obviously preposterous? It's got to be helping him in some way. And indeed, it was helping him. What you watched in the Senate hearing today was pure blame shifting. Joe Biden's foreign policy is a legitimate disaster. Nobody disputes that. But Mark Milley wants you to know that none of it is his fault. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin wants you to know that too. So does the head of Central Command, General McKenzie. All three of them want to make it crystal clear that the senile guy in the White House did this. It's his fault, not theirs. It was Joe Biden, they told us today, who forced American troops to leave Afghanistan before we evacuated all American citizens. And because the Pentagon reflexively, in every case, follows every order to the letter from the sitting president, they had no choice but to obey these crazy decisions. Watch them explain.
General Milley, it's your testimony that you recommended 2,500 troops approximately stay in Afghanistan?
Yes, my assessment was back in the fall of 20, and it remained consistent throughout, that we should keep a steady state of 2,500, and it could bounce up to 3,500, maybe something like that.
General McKenzie, do you share that assessment?
Senator, I do share that assessment.
President Biden last month in an interview with George Stephanopoulos said that no military leader advised him to leave a small troop presence in Afghanistan. Did these officer and General Miller's recommendations get to the president personally?
Their input was received by the president and considered by the president, for sure. In terms of what they specifically recommended, Senator, they just, as they just said, they're not going to provide what they recommended in confidence.
Are you following this? Wheels officially coming off, but whoa, what sleazeballs these guys are. We told Joe Biden to keep 2,500 troops in the country. We demanded it. On the other hand, because we are bound by the ancient and sacred rules of confidentiality, we can't really tell you what we told the president because that would be wrong. These people so thoroughly deserve each other. It is wonderful to see them rat one another out, which is exactly what they proceeded to do for the entirety of today's hearings. Watch General McKenzie explain that despite the fact that he personally oversaw the disaster in Afghanistan, actually, he had nothing to do with it. It was all demented grandpa pulling the strings from the White House.
I won't share my personal recommendation to the president, but I will give you my honest opinion, and my honest opinion and view shaped my recommendation. I recommended that we maintain 2,500 troops in Afghanistan, and I also recommended earlier in the fall of 2020 that we maintain 4,500 at that time. Those are my personal views. I also have a view that the withdrawal of those forces would lead inevitably to the collapse of the Afghan military forces and eventually the Afghan government.
What a dirtball that guy is. Did you just hear that? I can't share my recommendation, quote, but here was my recommendation. Take those medals off. You don't deserve them. Until today, the generals and their many allies in government have been undermining Biden indirectly. And far be it for us to defend Joe Biden, who deserves no defense, but it is a defense of the American system, which works well when civilians control the military. Up until today, they have been leaking Biden's phone calls, for example, the president of Afghanistan. That's illegal, but they did it anyway. They'd be giving nasty background quotes to their stenographers at NBC News about what a dope Biden is. All true, but still, they're not allowed to do that. But today was different. Today's performance took place in public. It was on the record, and it was under oath. And in that performance, they directly contradicted the commander-in-chief. As a reminder, here's what Joe Biden was saying just a few weeks ago on ABC.
But your top military advisors warned against withdrawing on this timeline. They wanted you to keep about 2,500 troops.
No, they didn't. It was split. That wasn't true. That wasn't true.
They didn't tell you that they wanted troops to stay?
No, not in terms of whether we were going to get out in a time frame all troops. They didn't argue against that.
So no one told your military advisors did not tell you, no, we should just keep 2,500 troops. It's been a stable situation for the last several years. We can do that. We can continue to do that.
No one said that to me that I can recall.
Oh, it's not a defense of any of them. They're all so awful and so undeserving of leading this great country. They should not be in charge of this country. It's too good a country for people like this. So here you have the generals claiming they told Biden the Afghan withdrawal would be a total disaster. Biden, just in the tape you saw, says they did not tell him that. The question is, who's lying? Someone's lying. Joe Biden doesn't know who's lying. He can't remember anything. He doesn't know what he had for lunch. Here's what we know for sure, though, and this is the point of today's hearings, and it's the point that matters going forward. No one in the Pentagon's leadership will ever be held accountable for this, the latest in a very long string of colossal screw-ups that have dramatically reduced American power and prestige around the world and gotten a ton of people killed. No one. This is unbelievable. Let's say you worked at a nuclear power plant, and one day you had too many beers on your lunch break, and you fell asleep, and the reactor melted down, and thousands died. And then you got a massive raise. That's pretty much what's happening here. The House of Representatives just passed a $776 billion defense budget. How big is that? Well, it's fully $24 billion more than even the White House requested. In other words, Congress just threw a little extra for a job well done, a bonus for the generals who left $80 billion worth of American military equipment for the Taliban to use. Good work, guys. So it's official now. No one will ever be punished for any of it. Not for abandoning Bagram Air Base. That was idiotic. Everyone knew it. They did it anyway. Not for leaving American citizens behind as they fled. Not for leaving our troops exposed to the attack that killed 13 young American servicemen. Not for the drone strike that blew up children, the one they lied about for weeks. The people who did these things are in great shape tonight. They will retire exactly when they feel like retiring, at which point they will get full benefits and jobs at Lockheed. That's how our system now works. It's very, very frustrating. Not because recrimination is good, but because in order to function, a system has to be accountable. And as of tonight, there's only one man in the entire U.S. government who is being punished for the failure, the catastrophic failure in Afghanistan. Just one man. His name is Stu Scheller. He is Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Marine Corps. He is an honorable and honest man. He is also blameless. Scheller had no role in any of these decisions. What was his crime? His crime was criticizing those decisions. In August, he posted this video on the internet.
If an 05 battalion commander has the simplest live fire incident EO complaint, boom, fired. But we have a Secretary of Defense that testified to Congress in May that the Afghan National Security Force could withstand the Taliban advance. We have chairmen of Joint Chief, who the commandant is a member of that, who's supposed to advise on military policy. We have a Marine combatant commander. All of these people are supposed to advise. And I'm not saying we've got to be in Afghanistan forever, but I am saying, did any of you throw your rank on the table and say, hey, it's a bad idea to evacuate Bagram Airfield, the strategic air base, before we evacuate everyone?
So that's an honorable man you just saw on the screen. That's a man who's in it for the right reasons, not to get promoted or work at Lockheed, but because he cares about the country and wants to defend it. There's a man who believed in his superiors, who is not cynical, who is genuinely confused by his superiors' unwillingness to admit their own error. His confusion comes from decency. And almost immediately, his superiors reacted to that video. They didn't apologize for the disaster. They didn't explain why they did what they did. They punished Scheller. They relieved him of his command, and they told him to shut up and stop talking. But he didn't stop talking. Here's how he responded.
To recap my position in the fallout of Afghanistan, I demanded accountability in my senior leaders. And I stated then that I understood that I might lose my battalion commander seat, my retirement, and my family stability. As it has played out, I have in fact lost all three of those things. Would I do it again? I don't know. My name is Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, and I was the only officer in the entire American coalition fired in the debacle of Afghanistan fallout. I acknowledge that I should have been fired. However, the hypocrisy of the general officers who are not being held to the same standard is a microcosm for the entire problem that is going to bring down the great institutions of this republic that we love.
So that's the man you want serving in your officer corps in a serious country. A person who takes his job seriously, who's patriotic, who's honest, who demands accountability. And before you say, well, it's the military, they don't have freedom of speech, you're not allowed to give a political statement, 2 points. One, that was not an explicitly political statement. In contrast, 2.2, the endless number of openly partisan statements from the leaders of the Pentagon. Mark Milley was openly thrilled by the election of Joe Biden. Was he punished for that? No, he was elevated. And Congress, again, just rewarded him and the entire leadership of the U.S. military with $24 extra billion. But Stu Scheller, for telling the truth? Well, here's what happened to him. Military brass forced Stu Scheller to undergo a psychological evaluation because only a crazy person would ask for accountability after the disaster in Afghanistan. And then when he wouldn't admit he was crazy, they threw him in prison, in jail, where he sits tonight. Scheller's father just released this statement explaining that his son is now behind bars with violent criminals. And how long is he there? He's there indefinitely. This is happening tonight in America. Here's a quote from his father. All our son did is ask the question that everybody was asking themselves, but they were too scared to speak out loud. He was asking for accountability. In fact, I think he even asked for an apology that we made mistakes. But they couldn't do that, which is mind-blowing. They had a gag order on him and asked him not to speak. He He did speak, and they incarcerated him. They don't know what to do with him. It's one of the worst stories of our time, and there are a lot of bad stories right now.
Ending up our program will be Laura Ingraham, and she really, really castigates this whole, what all the events and the sorry and the failings of what is really going down. But here's Laura Ingraham with some very, very good comments on her program there with Fox. Here we go next with her.
But first, last night, special counsel John Durham dropped his second bombshell in just the last 2 weeks. He issued subpoenas to one of the most politically connected law firms in the country. It's called Perkins Coie. Now, in 2016, that law firm represented the DNC and the Clinton campaign, who then, of course, used the firm to funnel money to former British spy Christopher Steele. Now, Steele, in turn, used the funds to finance his phony dossier on then-candidate Donald Trump. Now, this comes just 2 weeks, by the way, this subpoena, after the federal grand jury indicted former Perkins Coie lawyer Michael Sussman for lying to the FBI during a 2016 meeting that helped spark the Trump-Russia probe. Now, we're not sure why it's taken Durham this long to do this, but we may finally be close to learning just how far the Clintons and their allies went in all their efforts to destroy Donald Trump, his campaign, and his presidency. And when the truth finally comes out, we'll also see how invested the deep state was in deep-sixing Trump. Their goal was to frustrate the Trump agenda and put him on the defensive from day one. And as we all remember, the main villains here were aided and abetted by a corrupt left-wing media complex that fanned the fraudulent Russian collusion accusations for years. By the way, remember, none of those media folks decided to resign after their role in all of this. There were no mea culpas, and as far as I can tell, there's been no accountability. Sound familiar? Sounds like just what's happening at the Biden Pentagon. And when the Durham subpoena news did break, Hillary's collaborators in the press, they kind of just decided to downplay it or just ignore it entirely. So last night, ABC and CBS fawned over Biden's moves to save his mega spending bill and also to keep our borders wide open. And the Durham probe didn't make NBC nightly news either, but, well, they did find time to do a very important feature on the lineup for the Super Bowl halftime show. But come on, it's understandable. Eminem, Snoop Dogg over here versus boring old Durham and Perkins Coie over there. Maybe it's time to strike the whole word news from NBC Nightly News at this point. More like NBC Nightly Distraction. Of course, the news blackout extended to MSNBC, which spent years dining out on the twisted Russian conspiracies.
Donald Trump was trying to do business with Russia, and then 6 months later, Russia is trying to help the Trump campaign. It's not very complicated.
This is not how presidents behave. It's a dark moment in American history today.
Eric Lischblau of the New York Times calls Alpha Bank's lobbyists in Washington. 48 hours later, the Trump domain vanishes from the internet.
If the Alpha side of it disappeared. Yeah. They called Alpha and the Trump side disappeared. Okay, but surely CNN gave the Durham developments their due.
It seems like he's not delivering that big fish that former President Trump and Attorney General Bill Barr promised.
Right, exactly. After 2.5 years or so, there's only been these two indictments, and they frankly have been very thin.
Now, what's really thinnest here is their credibility and objectivity. It's non-existent. Wolf Blitzer even trotted out one of the slimiest guys in this ongoing drama, former FBI Director Andrew McCabe.
Is this the action of a special counsel who, after once again 2 years of investigating, has found essentially not much, at least not yet?
Well, that's absolutely right. There's really very little here relevant to what he supposedly was hired to investigate. The recent indictment and these subpoenas really hold the FBI more in the position of victim rather than subject of an investigation.
The spin just never ends. Just remember, Andy's always going to play the victim, though. So the FBI, our intel agencies, the media, and dishonest Democrats, they did incalculable harm to the office of the presidency and the people's faith in these institutions. And none of the guilty parties in this saga, not the press, the DOJ, certainly not the intel community, have learned anything over the last few years. Since we discovered that the Russia probe was a fraud from the outset, they've just moved on to targeting innocent Americans who oppose the Biden agenda, while dismissing Biden's conflicts of interest on China and his general incompetence in managing the affairs of our nation. It's a complete and ongoing disservice to the hardworking people of America who deserve to know the truth about the lengths to which our own government and media will go to take and keep power.
What this reminds me of, what's going on in this country right now, reminds me of the 007 books. And what was interesting about those books, those novels, you know, with James Bond and all that good stuff, is there was an organization, and it was a international organization, and it was called Spectre, okay? I think their SMERSH was the opposition, which was a Russian international crime cartel. And then there was this Spectre, and I think Spectre finally took over. Well, the author of those books was British, and he had been a member of British intelligence. And so what was he trying to tell us, and what are those novels still trying to tell us? And I think they tell us that the international crime syndicate is a reality. And what it does is it has corporate interest, financial power, which is very great, out of the city of London and New York and Singapore and all the other, you know, financial centers. I think Frankfurt is another one. They have financial power, money power. But also they hide their actions within these intelligence agencies. So are we dealing with an international crime syndicate that not only has financial clout, money power, but they have intelligence clout, and then now they're controlling many of these social networks because they have their fingers in that too. So do they have now intelligence on everyone, and then are they just liquidating people through purges that recently Tenpenny attended a BART fest up in close to St. Louis, Missouri, and she testified recently about a week ago that on a program that she got sick, but there were 35 other people that got sick too. Is there a purge going on in America of the religious right, the health activist, or the health, you could say, rebellious health crowd, or what? But this could very well be. This has happened way back after the Bolsheviks took over in Russia. There was a similar purge, I should say, in Soviet Union. And the way they did it back then, they organized a secret group that was in opposition to the Bolsheviki. And they got all these names, and they started liquidating and purging those people that had entered in and joined this organization that was whose goal was to oppose the Bolsheviks. So this is real. We're experiencing something real. People are dying. There's talk show hosts out there. So if the purge being held is being hidden within the pandemic, and that is something that we really, really need to take a look at. So anyone listening to this audience, dig down into this and try to come up with some list of the different talk show hosts and the different personalities that have died. You know what I mean? Robert David Steele was one. And there's a list of others out there. But let's start looking at stuff like that and seeing if there is a purge going on. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening tonight. And we tried to put stuff out. We can't get off of this COVID-19. I'm sorry. We just have to put it out. It's too important for our health of everyone, left, right, middle, whatever. But thank you very much for listening. Good night.